With selfless faith, with selfless way. I see a near revival stirring as we pray and see.
Thank you. through his blood he gave us the life, and now we come. Everyone praises to the one who saves us. Through his blood he gave us life, and now we come. Everyone, God and angel, always take for breath. Worthy is your name, bright and burning, your returning again. Worthy is your name, all creation rises up to declare your wonders. Life, and now we come. Everyone praises to the one who saves us. Through his word he gave us life, and now we come. Everyone, Lord and able, always thankful friends.
Hallelujah. Before service this morning, I was asked, where are all the palms? First, I realized this is Palm Sunday, and I thought to myself, well, we got some ferns. But then I thought of something else. Everybody in the house has two palms. And I can praise him with my palms. I can praise him like this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are going to, in a few moments, take some needs of the Lord in prayer. I do want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. Kickoff for Revival by Design is taking place tonight, beginning at 6 o'clock. If you are interested in seeing the church grow, want to be a part of church growth, I want to know how you can help and assist us in the process. Then we encourage you to come and be a part of the training. It is discipleship training. It is outreach training, if you will, but not in a way that you may think. You may say, "Well, I'm not an extrovert. I'm not one that approaches people, you know, that much. I'm kind of shy." Well, there's a place for you in the process. All right, and. So we want you to come. Tonight will be an introduction. We'll have some sign-up sheets for different things. I realize that we'll have Revived by Design, the kickoff tonight. Then next Sunday, which is Easter, we will have no PM activity here at the church. We will have a Sunday morning service. Our Sunday morning service will be a little bit different. We will not have the two sessions next week. It will be just one prolonged session, much like we've done in times past. And then there will be no evening activity here at the church. I encourage you to spend time with your family and friends on Easter. But after service on next Sunday, we will have an Easter egg hunt for the children. If the weather's anything like today, it will be wonderful to have it outside. And so what we need from you, and I know we're kind of late in the game on this, but I know you're so good to respond. We need you to bring by Saturday, because we plan to put the candies in the eggs on Saturday night. If you could bring here to the church bags of individually wrapped candy, that would help us in making sure we have enough eggs for all the little kids that are going to be here, so that after service on Sunday, we can have let them participate in the Easter egg hunt. And I know many of you will have on your Sunday's best, and I know that Brother Jay and Brother Mason have already introduced pastels. And I told them, I said, you guys are a week early. But if you wear that, we'll let you put the eggs out next week. I'm kidding, but we're looking forward to next Sunday. I always have a great attendance here in the house on Easter. Looking forward to that. The kids will be doing a little program as well. So a lot going on. Other announcements are there, scrolling on the screen before service and in between sessions, trying to keep you aware of what's going on. Also, please use church management software Breeze. This is another way to keep you updated. This is how we're putting things on the calendar. We had our department head meeting last Sunday night. We put everything on the calendar at that point in time. And so there's just some details to add therein. But if you want to know what's happening when, I encourage you to sign on, get involved in Breeze. And that way we can notify you, put you in on the database and all that good stuff. So,
Brother Wells, they need the candy by Wednesday night at the latest.
Okay, correction. We need the candy by Wednesday. Sis Connie? Okay, so if you would like to help, we got it. 6 o'clock on Thursday is the cutoff, because that's when they're getting together to put the candy in the Easter egg. So maybe 6:30, because they'll probably still be here for 30 minutes. But 6 o'clock, So have your candy here by 6 o'clock on Thursday. Wednesday night's a great time to bring it because you're coming anyhow, hopefully. And so that's a good time to bring it, individually wrapped candy, here to the house of the Lord. And that way we can put it in the eggs on Easter and have that ready to go. Thank you. I'm sorry? Yes. Yes, if you would like to stay and help us in putting all the little candies in the Easter eggs, we would certainly welcome that help. And so that'll be here at 6 o'clock on Thursday. I want to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. I know Brother Davis, as many of you know, is traveling. He's making a road trip south and going to be with family on his way and then going to be in Florida for a while. And so I know that he would covet your prayers concerning his traveling. And then a friend of Brother and Sister Davis's daughter, Rebecca, a friend by the name of Christine, who's 44 years of age, did I get that age correct, dealing with cancer for the fourth time, and obviously a dear friend of Rebecca. And so let's pray not only for Christine and the situation there in her health dealing with cancer, let's pray for Rebecca as well, as a close friend, that God would use this in a way that only He can do. And let's pray concerning that. Are there other needs in the house? Why don't you lift your hand? The Lord knows individual needs, circumstance. I know there's some sick among us, but as we stand, why don't you stand right now? And we're gonna go to the Lord in prayer. And if you would like to be anointed and prayed for, as we begin to pray, we'd ask that you would step forward. The elders of this church will anoint and pray for you. Well, why don't we go to Him right now? Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We thank you that we can call upon you in time of trouble, Lord, in this need, God. Lord, we lift up before you, lady by the name of Christine, God, 44 years of age, battling cancer for the fourth time. Oh, we know, God, that you're the healer of the body, God. You created the body, Lord. And we ask you, God, Lord, that you would work, God, not only in the life of Christine, Lord, but in the life of Rebecca. God, you would reach that situation, God, that ultimately, God, you would receive glory, God. And what the devil has meant for evil, Lord, that you would use it for good, God. And would show forth your power, your strength, your love, your help. We love you, Jesus. We praise you for those here, God, who have needs. God, we know, God, that you know what we have needed before we ask or even think. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would speak peace to the heart, the life, strength and help, God. To encourage, to strengthen, to uplift, God, whatever the need may be, God, we can come before you and trust in your power to work, to heal, to save to the uttermost, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you praise him with your palms? Why don't you clap your hands? Why don't you lift your hands? Oh,
me how great is our God, and all will see how great.
Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. While you're standing, if you would grab your Bibles. Matthew chapter number 21. Matthew chapter number 21. Begin reading in verse number 1. Read down through verse number 11. I hope you'll indulge me. I don't always do this, but on occasion, I will read from different translations. And so, while many of you will follow along in your King James, I will read from the NIV, New International Version. One of the reasons why I do this, I hope that you'll indulge me, is because in the King James, obviously there are some words in the King James that mean other things than what they mean nowadays or how they're used nowadays, shall we say. And so if I read from the King James, I know there are children in the house, namely my children, and they would ask me why I use certain words from the pulpit on Sunday morning. And so I felt maybe consideration that we have classes up here that I would read from the New International Version. I have no issue at all with the words in the King James Version, but those of you that know the King James and what it says, and as you read, you will understand. Matthew chapter number 21. And as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent forth two disciples, saying unto them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. Everybody say a wild colt. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. You want to know where this is found? It's found in Zacharias. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples, just specifically Zechariah, man, I can't say it. Woo, Lord help me. Zechariah chapter number 9 is where that passage, that prophecy is there. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks in the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed, everybody say ahead and behind. And those that follow shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject, the way the king enters. The way the king enters. You want me to pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We pray you would open our hearts, open our minds to receive your word. God, that we would see something so significant in your scripture to understand the way in which you come in. Lord, not just the city of Jerusalem that you did on that day, but Lord, as you come into the hearts and lives of individuals, God. all of humanity. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In your precious name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The way the king enters. This happening is recorded in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The event is known by many names. Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday, Entry into Zion. One of my favorites is termed the Triumphal Entry. All of these denote the event that is taking place on what we commonly call and celebrate as Palm Sunday. I recognize it according to calendar. I realize that this is probably not the actual day, but we recognize this as the day. We celebrate the occasion. We look at the scriptures and understand that on this week before Easter, when we celebrate, if you will, what happened in the crucifixion and the resurrection, we also take time to understand that this is the last week of Jesus' earthly life before his crucifixion. This is what is commonly called Passion Week. It is the beginning. It is what happens as he enters into the city of Jerusalem. While there are many reasons as to why Jesus did what he did at this particular time, why he went through the process and told the disciples to do certain things. And while we will once again look at some of the details surrounding this happening, I'm sure there's more than what we can even know. I'm sure there's more details, if you will. There's more significance than we may even scratch the surface of in exactly what Jesus did and why he did it in the way that he did. We understand that he did so in part, if you will, to fulfill prophecy. He did so because he was doing what he came to do. He was showing and signifying who he was. However, as I begin to read the accounts of this event, again in preparation for the message this morning, I noticed a few more things we might want to consider as we once again revisit this occasion. The story of the triumphal entry, I realize, is not just the story of Jesus entering into the city of Jerusalem, but rather, it is also the story of how Jesus enters into the city of one soul. It's not just the story of the King of Jews coming to save his people, but it is the story of the King of Kings coming to save the world. It's not just a story wherein a man rides upon a wild colt that is now tame at his touch, but it is a story of how he can tame the wildest of hearts. It's the way the king enters. As I begin to survey this story, I saw a true picture. I begin to see things that I didn't really see before, and understanding that it's not just about what happened in the physical or in the natural on that day that we celebrate and we commemorate as Palm Sunday. It's not just about him entering into the city of Jerusalem, the beginning of the Passion Week. It's not just about them and the crowds and what they did and how they surrounded him and what they said. But it's also about the way the king enters. It's about the way he still enters into the hearts and lives of mankind today. It's so significant because not only can we see it for what it is in the story that we celebrate and we commemorate, but it's so significant because it shows the way the king enters. See, I realize that when we look back over history, there are notable men and there's royalty in those that we would consider to be kings, but I believe there is only one true king. There is one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is one who surpasses all others, whose rule and reign and royalty is beyond our wildest imagination. Every king that has ever lived pales in comparison to the King. The one who had all right, if you will, to enter with pomp and pride and arrogance. You had all right, if you will, as king of the world to enter in so many other ways. But he entered in this way for a reason. You see, he does not come in on a prancing steed. He does not come in what common kings and other kings would have rode into a city on. They would have rode upon a horse. They would have signified their power and their might and their ability to conquer. They would have come in with a majestic steed under them, sitting high in the saddle and showing to those around about them that they are not to be trifled with. They are royalty. They rule, that they have power, that they have absolute authority, that all must give obeisance unto them. That's how a common king would enter into a city. He would ride upon a horse and he would show that he's there conquering by force. But the king, he enters in lowliness, riding upon a donkey. Little colt, the Bible says, never upon a man had sat. It was a wild colt. We don't know how old it was, but it was still young enough to where it was with its mother, according to the Bible. It was a small, if you will, donkey. It must have been somewhat comical. This prophet, this man, who they recognized as he sits upon this small animal that maybe it was even barely strong enough to bear the load itself, but it's making its way, and Jesus is sitting upon it, and maybe he's kind of jostling back and forth, because you understand this is new. Never a man has sat upon this colt. This colt doesn't recognize how to distribute the weight and how to walk properly under the weight of this man. It's never had someone sitting upon it before, and so it's walking and it's making its way, and maybe for some it somewhat seemed comical that this man, so noted, this man who they're all celebrating, and he's coming into the city upon this small little donkey. See, while he could undoubtedly subdue us by force, while he could command and then condemn those that do not capitulate, he instead enters on a donkey in a show of peace. He's not coming to make war. He's coming bring peace. He's not looking to fight. If there's one thing I'm learning more and more in my walk and relationship with God, is that God has no axe to grind with me. He's not looking for a fight. He could easily, without much consideration, quash me. It wouldn't take anything. I am nothing in comparison to God. He could force me to submit. He could subdue me. He hung the stars in space. He created everything. I'm no match for him. But he doesn't pick a fight. You see, a lot of people need to understand God's not looking to fight you. He's got no axe to grind with you. He's not coming. He's not looking for a fight. He's not ready to throw fist. He's not coming to you. He doesn't enter with arrogance. He doesn't come to you. He doesn't want to be in your life because he demands it and because he's there to conquer and subdue you. That's not the way the king enters. I would to God that so many people could realize he's not trying. He's not attempting to come into your life in the sense of to rule and reign over you and get your subjection by force. Comes in peace. And though he could very easily subdue and force us to submit. He's not riding in on a prancing steed. He comes in lowly. He comes in all humility. He comes in love and mercy and grace, not to conquer you, but to coerce you in humility. And I've come to this conclusion in my walk in relationship with God. I'm not going to fight people. I'm not going to fight you. If you don't want to serve God, don't serve God. If you don't want to do things for Him, don't do things for Him. I believe He's worthy of it. I believe we should. I believe we should acquiesce. I believe that we should submit. I believe that we should take ourselves and cast them before Him. I do believe that. But if you don't believe that and you don't want to do it, I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to try to twist your arm. I'm not going to try to forcibly compel you to do things or to uphold convictions or live a certain way. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to fight you. I come in peace. Would I love for any and all to submit? Sure. But are there those that are going to be hard-headed and are going to be stubborn and want to do things their own way and live however they want to live and do whatever they want to do, and they're not going to submit and they're not going to allow Him to truly come in as a king and reign in their life, and they think He's looking for a fight and well, I'll just live how I want to live and I'll just do what I want to do. Well, maybe that's okay for you. If it is, I'm not going to fight you. I'll love you. I'll do my best to pastor you. I'll do my best to lead you in the principles and precepts of the Word of God. But if you don't want to do it, and you don't want to live according to the Word of God, and you don't want to uphold convictions and live according to the Word of God, I'm not going to fight you. Why? Because that's not the way the King is. He's lowly. Riding upon a donkey. A little donkey as it struggles under the weight of a man. It's making its way up this rocky road, and it's making its way into the city. And in our flesh and in our carnality, we see it looks somewhat comical. Let me just stop here for a minute. And I know to many people in this world, our walk in relationship to God, to them it's comical. To them, it doesn't make much sense why we do what we do and we live how we live and we go about doing and being who we are. And some of them scoff and some of them look at us like, what are you doing and why are you going things about this way? I don't understand it all, and I don't expect you to understand it. But I do expect us to recognize the way the King enters and realize He's not looking for a fight. He's not trying to force you. He's not trying to compel you in the sense of conquest. What He's trying to do is convince you that His way is the best way. While in our pride and in our arrogance, we often feel that we should ride in upon a horse. We should come in demanding our own will and our own way. We need to understand. He will not fight you. He comes in peace. He does not demand that we submit and then punish us should we refuse. Why? Because that's not the way the King enters. You see, He comes with something greater than even earthly peace. He comes with eternal peace. Bible says, Isaiah 53:5, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Therefore, being justified by faith, Romans 5:1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you read in Zechariah 9, verses 10, it tells of the prophecy. Verse number 10 says it this way. He comes peace. He does not come to fight. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and He shall speak peace unto the heathen. His dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. He comes not with weapons, but cruelty, conquest. He comes with love, and mercy, and grace. For this is the way the king enters. The Bible says that a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. See, we need to understand something about this. Cloaks in that day and age were cultural markers. They identified certain classes of people. They identified even some were beggars or some were unclean. They wore certain garments. They were garments which indicated their lot in life, if you will. In many cases, it showed their cultural status. It showed where they were in society. Everybody pretty much wore the same linen undergarment, if you will. But on the outside, the cloak, it was really what showed and revealed to everybody else. Though you may not know me by name, you could look at my garment in that day and know whether or not I was a person of wealth. You could look at me in that day, and though you may not even know me personally, you could look at my garment and tell that's a beggar. You could tell what class, what social status I was a part of simply by the outer garment or the cloak that I wore. It signified things. It showed to everybody else who they may not know me personally, but all they had to do was look upon the cloak, and it had some identifiers. It had some markers, if you will, that would show. I begin to think of this. Here the picture is Jesus riding upon a donkey, and on either side of him are people who have removed what separates them. And they've spread it on the ground. He is now walking over. The donkey upon which he sits is now passing over, if you will, those cloaks, those garments, those things that identified them, and they have laid them in the way, and now this donkey is trampling over them as it enters into the city with the king upon his back. I began to think of this. You see, the way the king enters is like this, trampling upon what divides us. We'll say that again. Tramples on what divides us. There is no more unifying and undivided. Catch this. There is no more unifying and undivided ideology than this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's no greater unifier in all the world. There's no greater statement. If we live by it, there would be no division. There would be no separation. There would be unity if we truly loved our neighbors as ourselves. So the way the king enters is individuals are casting their identity, their markers, their cultural differences, those things that divide them, and they're laying them on the ground at his feet. They're also going and they're cutting branches from off the trees and they're laying them in the way. And in this we can understand. If you look back at Leviticus 27:40, you will understand that this they did not only in the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths to celebrate for 7 days or rejoice in the provision of God. This is something they also did. When a king would enter triumphantly into a city, they would cut down branches and they would put them on the road as the king made his way into the city, and they would rejoice. The king is entering again. So what are you saying, Pastor? There's a reason why the psalmist said, in recognizing and understanding, lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Lift up your head, all ye gates, and lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. You need to understand the way that the King enters is not only when we take our identities, when we take our image and our cultural differences, and we cast them on the ground before them, but we do so while rejoicing.
do so. Not regretfully that I have to take this off, that I have to remove this identity, that I have to remove this social status, that I have to be like everybody else. Because He is no respecter of persons. But that I do so rejoicing. That I do so praising Him. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I do so rejoicing. You need to understand this. I realize it when people are praying and they're seeking the Holy Ghost. I realize there's a time of repentance. I realize there's a time of acknowledgement. There's a time of mourning, if you will, as Brother Kellum spoke so well about this morning. But there's also a time of rejoicing. And the way the King enters in is when we rejoice. Catch the picture, catch the understanding. He's sitting upon a colt of a donkey that is wild, that never a man has ridden upon, but it's tame under his touch. And the way the King enters in is the same way. If we understand James, the tongue is a world of fire, a world of iniquity, and no man can tame it. But the way the King enters in is when we rejoice. And all of a sudden, that most unruly member of the body that no man can tame, all of a sudden, the Bible says it is the Spirit which gives the utterance. It tames the tongue. That's the way the King enters in. Then it also says that there were crowds before and behind. Crowd, verse number 9, the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Never saw this before. I realized as I read this passage yet again, there are those in front, there are those behind. But they're all shouting the same thing. I begin to see it. There are those that have come before. And there are those that will come behind. But they're all saying the same thing. Those that came before and those that come after. There's a very large crowd, and those that have come before are saying, Hosanna. And those that are coming behind are saying, Hosanna. Those that are in front are saying the same thing as those that are behind. And then it took me to the day of Pentecost. There are those that came before. One of those was a man by the name of Joel, a prophet. And Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost. And Peter now is one who is now behind. He's on the other side. Joel came before. Peter's now behind. But catch what Peter says on the day of Pentecost. Those that are coming before are saying the same things that are coming behind. And now Peter on the day of Pentecost looks at the onlookers who are trying to understand what meaneth this. And this is what Peter says. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is what was said before. This is what was said before he came. And now that he's come, listen to what I'm saying. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. You need to understand what was being said before is still being said behind. Here is my hope. Here is my understanding. The way the King enters into our services and the way the King enters in and His presence is here. I need to make sure I'm saying the same things and we're singing the same songs. Because those that said before need to be saying, and we that are behind need to be saying the same things and singing the same things. That's the way the king enters in. Closing, you can stand your feet. He's not coming to pick a fight. He's not making his way into the city upon a war horse. He comes in peace. He comes not to conquer you. He comes not forcing you to hide your life in him. He comes in lowliness and humility. Myself, if the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, would humble himself, would sit upon and stride a young donkey, probably wobbled under the weight, making his way into the city. Why is my pride and arrogance such that I think the king is going to enter in my friends and my family and my associates by me having some image, prestige, and popularity. Sorry, that's not the way the king enters in. It's lowliness and humility. To many, it probably looks comical. He's not coming for a fight. He's coming in peace. He wants you to willingly rejoice as you cast your identity at his feet. As he brings peace with God, as he enters in, are you willing? Are you willing to allow the king to enter? He'll never force his way into your life. He'll never seek to conquer you, compel you by force. He comes lowly. The question is, will you sing his praises? Will you cast your identity? Will I cast my identity at his feet? Will my image mean absolutely nothing? Well, I only seek to love my neighbor as myself and allow the king to enter as he tramples upon those things which separate us. He came not seeking an earthly kingdom. He came to bring a heavenly kingdom. He didn't come to conquer land and territory of the natural. He came so that you and I would willingly give up and concede our territory, our lives, that which he has so graciously given unto us. Will we in praise, rejoicing, allow the king to enter in? These altars are open as they begin to sing and play. This is the way the king enters. I know for many it doesn't seem really logical. They don't understand it all. But I ask you, are you willing to rejoice as you lay down your identity? Are you willing to rejoice and allow him entrance into the city of your soul? Will you grant him access?
Will you allow him? He comes lowly and humble. And we lift our hands right now. Just a picture of him entering into the city of Jerusalem. How he made his ascent. It's how he rises in your mind's eye.
He wants to talk with you.
Does your admiration for him and his way increase? I don't have it all right yet, but I'm learning, I'm growing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, why don't we rejoice a little bit that this is the way the King is. I'm so thankful, Lord. You didn't force me. It wasn't crammed down my throat. Listen, I'm going to teach my children. I'm going to do my very best to instill in them the principles and precepts of the Word of God. But I understand the way the King enters is through peace, lowliness, and humility. I'm not picking fights. But I do want them to be convinced that His way is the right way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
The King of glory.
Oh, Hesitate to say this, but I don't seek to be end on any kind of negative note. You see, this is the way the King enters now. There's coming a point in time when he comes again. This time it will not be upon a donkey. This time it will be thousands of angels, saints. The Bible says he will execute vengeance. See, this is the way the King enters right now. This is the opportunity that we have, and that your friends and your family and your associates, this is the way that he comes now. This is the way that he enters in now. There's coming a second time when he's going to enter through the same gate. He won't be coming in peace this time. He won't be coming with vengeance. Lord, help me to allow you to enter in lowly. There is coming a day when you will come and you will conquer. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. There is coming a day when you will enter in a whole different way. There's coming a day. And Lord, I don't serve you out of fear that day. I don't serve you because I'm scared of what will happen if I don't. I serve you because of the way you enter in now. I serve you because you're lowly and you're humble. I serve you because the chastisement of my peace is upon you. I serve you. Thank you, Jesus. One more time, can we lift our hands? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for those who don't recognize, for those who refuse to cast their identity at your feet, for those who will not rejoice in your arrival, for those who remain arrogant, for those who still want to fight with you, for those who want to put up resistance. Lord, I pray, God, that before the time comes when you come again, they would allow you to enter in the way you do now. For right now, this is the way the King enters. God bless you for being here in the house of the Lord this morning. May go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Thank you.